Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in beautiful downtown Hummel's Wharf. As we mentioned earlier, Penn State is closing classes in a half an hour, and all faculty and staff are being released at 5 today, and there will be no classes tomorrow. And if you are considered to be non-essential personnel, which unfortunately for the vast majority of you, you are, you don't have to go to work tomorrow. And the Lady Line basketball game at Michigan State, which was scheduled for tomorrow, has been postponed until February 27th. Now, Michigan State and the Lady Lions both had a bye week that week, so that created the opening, allows them to do that. So there you go. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day.
T with a left-hand dribble, has it on the left wing, feeds out top. Jay Huff defended by Walker, passes to Jerome. Jerome takes it into the lane, lost it for a moment, feeds out. Kyle Guy splashes through the three from the right side with the nerve of a cat burglar.
Well, Virginia, which has had a great year, NC State's had a great year. Obviously, I saw them play firsthand. Went to overtime last night. Virginia finally won it. That is our play-by-play call of the day. And Kyle Guy's had a really good season. He has really given them that consistent outside presence that can make such a big difference. All right, classes, activities canceled tomorrow. But to my knowledge, the basketball game is not affected tomorrow. Especially if Purdue gets here tonight. Purdue gets here tonight, they're going to play the game. And I don't know what Purdue's travel schedule happens to be, but if they're here, they're playing. Especially if the Jordan Center is not available on Friday because of wrestling. Penn State's going to wrestle Michigan. And I think everyone thinks that the Penn State wrestling matchup against Michigan is their toughest regular season matchup. I think that would be fair. So this is going to be a great test. It's interesting. A good friend of mine was talking to me today. He says, it's interesting how when you achieve success, you know, Penn State gets into a little bit of a tight one with Wisconsin. They got into a little bit of a tight one. Was it with, I think, Indiana? A little bit, not much. Well, what's wrong? What's going on? What's the problem? Because they're not winning every bout. Like, okay. It's an interesting spot to be in when you're so good. And, well, what do you mean you lost a bout? But I was thrilled for Devin Schnupp. Because 125-pounder, he got his first Big Ten win. That will do a world of wonders for him. Confidence-wise, I think that's terrific. So, they've got that matchup coming up with Michigan on Friday night at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, that would have been great to see Roman Bravo Young take on Stephen Micic, the current number one at 34. And I believe, and I'd read this after the fact, I didn't get a chance to catch the live broadcast last Friday night with Jeff at Purdue. He had mentioned, or they'd mentioned during the post game, Casey Cunningham, I think, either Casey or Cody said something during the post game last week with Ironhead that possibility that Roman could be out upwards of 3-4 weeks.
Right.
So
that's fine.
Yeah. Then he'll be ready for Big Tens and the rest of the way.
The bottom line is, all these regular season dual meets are terrific, but each one's a step to get you where you eventually want to go. You want to qualify all 10 going through the Big Ten tournament process. You don't qualify anybody in the regular season. You just don't. It may get you if something goes wrong, it may help you get a wild card. Okay, but you can win your way to the NCAA championships. In the end, that's all that matters. You know, rankings, regular season dual meets. Yeah, I mean, the rankings help you in the area of seeding and road to the title. It's no question. No matter what, you still have to go out and wrestle somebody that is really good. But the bottom line comes down to what you do in the Big Tens. Where do you place? Does it put you in the NCAAs? Once you get in the NCAAs, to me, all bets are off.
Oh, by the way, another quick wrestling note. Bucknell will have their second and final duel in Soica Pavilion on Friday night. Actually, be the same time as the Penn State-Michigan duel. Bucknell will take on North Carolina on Friday night.
Yeah. Okay, good. Mm-hmm. That's good.
Bucknell.edu/box office. I'll have ticket info on there for you.
So if you're not going to Penn State to see that,
take your pick.
I mean, go to Bucknell. That'll be great. Of course, Penn State wrestled at Bucknell this year, and they sold it out.
Yep, third biggest crowd in Soica Pavilion history.
Mm-hmm.
Well, speaking of Soica, Bucknell Navy hoops tonight. I have that for you over on Eagle 107, starting at 6:30. Keep that stranglehold up on top of the Patriot League standings.
That's in Soica?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Ed DeChellis, welcome home. I know Navy had a really good year last year. I know it's been more of a struggle this year. But Ed is, I go back 35 plus years with Ed. He's one of my favorite people. I'm thrilled that things have gone as well as they've gone for him at Navy. He deserves that kind of success. Good man. So, and it's coming up tonight. It's like looking around saying it's a little warmer in Annapolis, and of course the summer places in Charleston. So, yeah.
For some reason, this always stuck in my mind. I was leaving a Penn State basketball game years ago when Ed was still coaching, got in the car and was getting on I-99 and was listening to you and Ed in the post game. And I can't remember if you had said it or Ed. I think Ed had said, he goes, "See you at Mass."
I think it was Ed. Ed said that. Ed said that. I'll see you at Mass. Yeah, it's true. Now I go over to Mass and I see Chambers.
Must have been an early Saturday. Yeah, it was an early Saturday game, I think.
It was an early Saturday game, and back then Mass here, it's now at 4 o'clock on Saturdays. It used to be 5 o'clock back then, so it was a lot easier to get to. And yeah, he said, "I'll see you at Mass." It's true. I did see him at Mass that night. Yeah, you know what? I know that in journalism, or in media. How about in media? Let's just say that. They always do tell you that you still need to, you should have at least that some level of separation between subjects. You hear that all the time, and I understand that. It's impossible to do in what I do. It's impossible. If you want to make yourself totally and completely devoid and just cut yourself off completely, and I'm going to go and I'm going to call the game. But look, in what I do, that's impossible to do. And not only that, I think that while I still would be very confident in the job that I would do doing something cold, I think my job, it gives me a much better chance at my job because of the access I have, what I see, what I'm around. It allows me to understand better why pro and con on a lot of different topics. Now, obviously, sometimes there are times I can't talk about certain things. I understand that. I mean, believe me, there's a litany on Mike Watkins, for example, that would give everyone a better depth of understanding there, but can't do it. Just as an example. When the transfers came up, I think I was pretty direct and honest about every single guy as to where they stood on the depth chart, why I thought they left, what signals were sent to them along the way in playing time and starts with targeting calls on other players, and suddenly the door for another player didn't open up. It actually for somebody else instead of them. That's, you know, so it's allowed me to say why certain guys did certain things because I know it. And I don't have to guess or speculate at it. And then when it comes to the relationship with the coaches, well, I mean, do I freely admit that, you know, after being around him 8 years, I mean, do I consider Patrick Chambers a friend? Yeah. Do I consider James Franklin a friend? Yeah. Okay, does that cross every line? Yeah. But it allows me to do a better job, I think. Because of the access I have, that way I've got a better handle and a better feel for why and why not. You know, and it, or, you know, and I can lead a Jack Hammond to a why and why not better, which then gives you the fan a better feel. Sometimes, remember we're working together up there. So there may be something where, I talk about how it's important for me to listen to Jack all the time. But conversely, he's also been a great listener with me. And the same thing with Dick Girardi, because I can then lead them in to something on why or why not and let them take off on it. I never really talk about that part, but, I mean, that's something that's been important over the years. And sometimes that why or why not lead in is also based on things I've seen over the last week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks. Because of what I've seen, not what I'm guessing. See, I'm not guessing. There's a reason. Like, you'll do something in a certain way because you know it. You're not there guessing. You're not there speculating. And so, yeah, does it blur? And I think when you do these jobs, I expect Don Fisher of Indiana to have a bigger insight on Indiana football, basketball than anybody else because he's around it every day. And I really respect beat reporters for the great job that they do because, you know, they don't quite have, obviously they're more, you know, they've got more of that wall, which is important for them to do their job objectively. Now, you never hear Dick Girardi refer to Penn State as we. You never hear me refer to Penn State as we. I never once have. Right? Now, Jack does sometimes. Okay, it's fine. But, you know, guess what? He played here. So I think that then becomes a different ball game because of his deep ties here. But it doesn't mean he's not critical of something that happens. Sometimes he's critical of something that happens because you're critical in the moment. It's not personal. There's no malice. It is why or why not? I'll give an example of. I was talking earlier in the week about Jamari Wheeler. I said, look, Jamari's not a good shooter. Now, is that a criticism? You can take it that way. But the bottom line is, in nearly two seasons, he hasn't shot the ball well. I then talked about, okay, then what does he do well? He's an excellent on-the-ball defender. He's got great speed. And he also runs the team really well. I mean, he has something like a 7-1 assist to turnover ratio over the last, four games or some number like that, which is really impressive. And he said, look, he has a tendency at times that he has to understand that he can't go 100 and the ball goes 95. Sometimes he's too quick with the ball. Okay. Now, am I being critical of Jamari Wheeler, or am I analyzing Jamari Wheeler? I'm analyzing him. You know, and we do that with players all the time. You're never critical of anything. No, I can properly analyze what's going on. I can see what's going on. I can tell you pro and con. And have. For a long time. You know, I'm going to get asked a lot of questions about Tommy Stevens in the offseason. I'm going to get asked a lot of questions about Sean Clifford in the offseason. And I've talked about, for example, with Clifford, where I give him a lot of credit, is that he has really now adapted to how this offense is run. That was not his bag when he came in here. Throws a great ball. Throws a great ball. And for Tommy Stevens, staying injury-free is going to be important because I think he runs the RPO part of it with the ball faking and so forth. I thought of the three quarterbacks, he's a little more crisp at running it. But Trace brings with him so many incredible intangibles that it made a tremendous difference in how Penn State functioned. So you can sit there, you can talk about the pros and cons with the idea that, look, you know, if this guy gets a little bit better in this area, it's going to make him even better. We talked last year about Lamar Stevens. Look, if he can hit the three-point shot with some consistency, now he becomes a 25-foot guard. Now he becomes extremely dangerous. Well, that's one of the areas he struggled this year. Until he got to the Minnesota game, then he knocked down three straight three-pointers. Then he had one against Rutgers. But, yeah, there is that line. But I think in the jobs that we do, Dick Girardi, Jack Ham, myself, yeah, Jeff, what he does with Penn State Wrestling, Jeff Byers. Right? You're around them all the time. When you're around them all the time, it gives you a different feel, a different perspective, and yes, it does blur that line. Okay. We will come back with more in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. We mentioned earlier, campus is closing at Penn State, students being released in moments, and then faculty, staff at 5, and the university, unless it's essential personnel, there'll be no classes or activities tomorrow, and it's going to be closed down. Now, if Purdue is here, and to be honest with you, they might be here right now. I mean, more and more teams are leaving earlier for games. Noon, 2, whatever. And they might even work out in there tonight. If they're here, they're going to play the game. And Michigan will have no problem. At that point, everything is back on track for Friday. The campus will be completely open Friday. And the Michigan wrestling team will have no problem getting in, and they would go from there. But this is all because of the severe cold. I mean, we're still at a whopping 3 degrees. Oh, see, the real feel's improved, man. We're up to 20 below zero now, real feel. I feel better. Yeah. About that. I mean, is this the coldest I've ever been around? No, I've had colder. I think all of us have. Along the way, just, you know, it was a long time ago. It's like 3 degrees now here. I mean, I was in Minneapolis 10 days ago, and it was below zero then. You're talking about mass on Saturday before the game. I walked to Mass, and it was 2 below 0, and the wind chill was about 20 below. And that was 10, 11 days ago. I mean, I live to talk about it. It was at a church called St. Olaf's. You probably never knew there was a St. Olaf.
People who watch The Golden Girls, Betty White, yeah, St. Olaf.
St. Olaf, there
yeah,
you go.
Yeah.
Then I went to Betty's church then. There you go. Oh, that old Christmas song, Baby, It's Cold Outside.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on the show. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in beautiful downtown Hummel's Wharf. Don't blink. By the way, there are sources that have been telling John Rothstein, by the way, which is essentially what I told Sean in November, that Penn State, the door might be open to them playing in the preseason NIT with the likes of Oklahoma State, Syracuse, Ole Miss. It would be in Madison Square Garden. That usually takes place around Thanksgiving weekend. So even though it's labeled the preseason NIT, it's not really in the preseason. Okay. So just to mark that down. Let's see. You have a calendar, right? Let me look at this. Let's see. This past year, 2018. Let's see. Steve, will you please speak at our event? Ah, Dick, never lost power. Furnace had an issue. Fixed. Okay. Let's see. Words. I'm just looking at my calendar here for a moment. That's the one with the clock on it, right? Oh, God. I'm just looking at the dates so everyone knows. Okay. Okay, practice over in about 5 to 10 minutes. All right, well, I'm not going to make that. Let's see. Nope, he just called practice. Okay, so I'm not going over to practice today. That's out. Let's see here.
Matt upstairs, more logs on the stove.
Oh, I did that before I started the show.
There you go.
And I sat there and said, we're throwing more logs on that fire. And Mr. Fix-It, Dick Girardi, took care of the... stove. Where the heck is this? Under the mail, wallet, photos, productivity. No, that's not me. I'm looking for the calendar on this thing. Doggone apps. I actually brought it up earlier. I was like, going, okay, how'd I do that? Oh, goodness gracious. It was November 21st and 23rd. If I recall, Thanksgiving was the 22nd this year, right?
Let's see. I actually just pulled the football schedule up. So
the football, they played 24th against Maryland, right?
Let's see. Do I have the 19th? Yeah. Okay. 2019 schedule. I have Saturday, November 23rd at Ohio State.
No. I'm not talking about that.
Oh.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about in 2018, Penn State played Maryland on the 24th, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Which means that the games were the 21st and the 23rd, which were Friday and Saturday around Thanksgiving. Excuse me, they were Wednesday and Friday surrounding Thanksgiving, so that's when the preseason NIT took place. So just to give you an idea, so in other words, just because it's called that doesn't mean it's the first week game of the season. So if that does come to fruition, which John Rothstein is reporting as a possibility, okay, then, you know, think about that. It could be that week of Ohio State, or it could be the 27th and 29th, followed by a home game with Rutgers. Is it home or away at Rutgers? It must be away at Rutgers, right? No, it's home. It's home with Rutgers, right?
Yes, on Saturday, November 30th.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, doesn't that just fit into somebody's calendar very well? All right, guys. That's the amazing thing about this season. There have been times where I've had to miss a game or two in basketball. I missed any this year. In fact, I've only missed one in 2 years. So that's because this basketball schedule has worked out. I mean, football's football. Whenever, you know, it's always played on Saturday. And playing at Ohio State's convenient to get to on the 23rd, and playing home with Rutgers makes it easier. So, I mean, there's certain things that falls into place pretty well.
Well, except for those Friday night games, but at least they're in September and doesn't conflict with hoops.
Well, they got one Friday night game. That's the game in Maryland. You know what?
Yeah.
It's an easier travel. It's not going to be at 9 o'clock at night, I'm sure. And I can see that game being at 7 o'clock. I can't see that game being... Because remember, part of the reason that game was at 9 o'clock at Illinois was because it was 8 o'clock Central Time. Okay. I love that Brandon Cook story from earlier. That's going to be one of those items I bring up in my classroom, talking about, look, you know, understand how to treat people. And that's a big part of it. You know, sometimes somebody only gets like a shot ever to meet you one time. Do you want that one impression? Yeah, I met the guy one time. He was a jerk. I mean, do you want it to be like that? Or, like, I met the guy one time, she said, all he wanted to do was put out fires. I mean, I just think I couldn't talk to him. No? Wrong guy?
Wrong guy. That's our guy.
Is he still playing Candy Crush in the office?
I haven't seen him in a couple hours.
Exactly. He went home 2 hours ago. Don't tell me. See, I asked you earlier if he was still in the building. You said yes. Now you found out he left 2 hours ago.
I was just double-checking if he still had a game tonight.
Yeah, that's a really.
Because I was concerned, you know, Shikellamy is supposed to play Central Mountain tonight. Keystone Central called off school last night for today. So that was the first thing I said. I wonder if they're going to come down I-80 to 15 to Sunbury, if they're going to play tonight.
Yeah.
That's pretty rare for Keystone Central to call school the night before when it's, you know, no major snowstorm. But you can't mess around with this cold weather.
No. My son Christopher was supposed to teach today in the Keystone Central School District, so we knew last night they had nothing.
Yeah, they called off pretty early. State College call off?
No.
I didn't think so. I heard State College in Penns Valley didn't, yeah.
And my daughter teaches in Penns Valley, and my grandchildren go to State College. Like, my offer on that one.
Yeah, I was going to say, Belfont, Baldwin area, okay. What about the other ones? Phillipsburg.
Well, Penns Valley, they rarely call off unless they absolutely have to because they're so insulated from the weather, it's always 60. Like, really? Who's running that show? what, are we got a vacation plan in North Carolina in June we don't know about? What's going on? But I believe tomorrow, with campus closed tomorrow, essentially, it's, I mean, the campus isn't closed, essential personnel only. State College will follow suit, and they'll be out. Penns Valley will be a roll of the dice. Oh,
they're built for the cold over there on Route 45.
Not really. They're like everybody else. I mean, it's not International Falls, Minnesota, but it's not that bad. It's not that bad.
It's a different state of mind over there in Spring Mills.
Yeah, because they've got it. You know, management has plans to be in North Carolina in June on vacation doing something. All right, let's get to. The TV station employee who put out the graphic that labeled Tom Brady as a known cheater has been fired. Roger Goodell, you heard the remarks at the beginning of the show today about the no call in the Rams-Saints game. But again, I go back to it's more than just that. It's an easy call. It is not a difficult call. But I do not want replay expanded to look at pass interference. Because guess what? If you and I are sitting there watching the game on Sunday in slow motion on no call plays, you're going to see clutch grab by both people. Clutch, the ball's in the air. Clutch grab, clutch grab, clutch grab. Guess what? You're not supposed to touch. I mean, you're not supposed to touch the receiver beyond 5 yards anyway. So why 25 yards, 30 yards down are you grabbing his shirt? Why are you grabbing the jersey? Why is he grabbing your jersey back? I don't want that. Enough is reviewed. Now, what should be expanded to take a look at, in my opinion, I think that they need to have the ability to look down and say, hey, whoa, I want to look at this because I think it was helmet to helmet. Now, I'm all for that because that's a safety issue. And on that play by Coleman, I mean, he belts Lewis's helmet with his helmet. So, yeah, you know, not only did they miss the pass interference call, they also missed the helmet-to-helmet. Again, that part was so quick, I didn't see that till I saw the replay. But I think they should be allowed to buzz down and say, hey, we need to take a look at that because of the helmet-to-helmet. I do not want pass interference or any other penalty besides helmet-to-helmet or crossing the line of scrimmage on a forward pass, which, by the way, is already reviewable. That's the only penalty that's reviewable. But helmet-to-helmet, which is used in college football, and you can buzz down and say you want to look at it, right? I'm for that because it's a safety issue. And I think they need to take a look at that part. But that's it. I don't want pass interference reviewed. I don't want false start reviewed. This went wrong. Just like, and it was a pivotal call in the Patriots drive where Brady, they got 15 extra yards tacked on for roughing the passer. No offense. Cleve Blakeman is obviously a really good referee, but on that play, he guessed and missed it. And if he's ever listening to this, whether it's online or driving through, whatever, and you're mad that I said that, call up. But I'm telling you right now, there's no way you can tell me you saw that. He hit his shoulder pad. Now, if you think that he hit the face mask, if you think he hit the helmet, there's a difference between, I think he did, and knowing. There is a difference. What's interesting in that game is there was a quarterback in that same game that also that absolutely got belted in the helmet and a no call, and that was Patrick Mahomes. He got hit in the helmet in the same game, and there was no call, and he got up and goes, "Hey, I got hit in the head." I don't know. Meanwhile, Jones just swings to, I think with Jones' swing, it was just to kind of like see if he could swat at the ball, even though it was Brady's left shoulder, and he hit the shoulder pad, roughing the passer. Okay, that's as, to me, that was, this was an incredibly egregious play everybody's talking about, but the other play's just as bad. It kept the drive alive, it tacked on 15 more yards, it actually played a role in the winning and losing of the game, just like this play played a role in the winning and losing of the game. Again, you can't guess. You can't assume. And if you're missing the easy plays, you've got a problem. But replay does not solve all problems. And nor should it. You know, Belichick does say the officials are really good at coming over to the sideline. You know, he says because Belichick admits it's confusing as to what plays you can and can't challenge. He says, and the officials, he said, are really good at coming over and saying, "Hey, Bill, you can't challenge that. It's in the, you can't do that." Now, you may not be happy with it, but at least you're getting the right explanation.
That's interesting hearing that from Belichick. I just kind of wonder, out of all the coaches in the NFL, if the most times that happens to, you know, that happens a lot to certain coaches.
Well, no, it happens with every coach. This is the same as when a wide receiver comes up to the line of scrimmage, you'll see him look over at the linesman. He'll ask, "Am I on or am I off?" He'll say, "Nope, you're fine. You're on." Okay, which means you're lined up in the right spot. You're not making somebody else next to you ineligible. You're not over the line of scrimmage. You know, if you ask, they'll tell you. Now, after the fact, you can't. And that was the issue I had in the Nebraska basketball game, where Glenn Watson clearly walks. You know, there are certain times where you can run the baseline. Well, the time you can run the baseline is after a made free throw or a made basket. You can then run the baseline. But if it's a play that's just out of bounds, no made basket, you cannot move that pivot foot. And Watson jumped to his left, and threw it in. And then Paul Zelk looked at him and said, "You can't, hey, look, don't do that again." No, it's not your job to advise him after the fact. It is your job to call it. See, again, you can't miss the easy calls. That, I'm sitting right there. I looked over right away and said, "You walked. You walked again." Now, that's not me officiating on the air. That's me doing play-by-play. He walked. Twice. Now, if I'm sitting there and I know it, it's not your job. And I saw him mouth the words, "Don't do that." He shook his head, "Don't do that again." That's not your job to advise him. It's your job to hand him the ball, and you can say, now remember, you cannot move. You're allowed to do that as an official. That's good officiating, to tell them before the fact you can't move. But then if they break it, boom, 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 boom. It's not your job to say, "Hey, look, don't do that again." Don't do what again? Call it. And not only that, they got a basket out of it. Shouldn't have had the ball. And again, that is an easy call. That was not a difficult call. That was an easy call. You miss the easy calls, I've got a big problem with it. Now, the last two games, Minnesota game for Penn State, I thought the officiating was really good. Game with Rutgers, I thought the officiating was really good. They did it on the play where Rozier Bolden gets the ball and the shot clock goes off. It turned out that the ball grazed the rim. The officials made absolutely the right call. Okay. You made a hustle play and it turned out unlucky for you. Okay. But did the official make the right call? Did you get ripped off? No, they made the right call. Should have been 30 on the shot clock, 105 on the game clock, and Rutgers should have the ball. I mean, that's DJ and Brian did a great job on that. And deserve credit for it. They get enough flack for other things that happen or don't happen in the game. You know, we want to make sure that, in fairness, that when we do have a criticism of something, always remember there are also times that we've praised it. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, the polar vortex. We're at 3 degrees here, 20 below wind chill. Major League Baseball's having a good time with this. The Cubs put out a shot of snow-covered Wrigley Field with the scoreboard in the background, and they referred to it as Chiberia. The Indians, if we get 1 million retweets, we'll lick the foul pole. No, we're not warm yet. Yes, we will do it. Fortunately for them, they're not at a million. The Reds put out a picture of Great America Ballpark, snow-covered. Can you believe that a member of our staff walked all the way to the top of the riverboat deck in minus 20-degree wind chill to take a picture and give the fans a view of the ballpark during the polar vortex? That person must really care. The Pirates put out a video of the Pirate parrot walking up the dugout steps on the third base side with a bat, looking out and seeing nothing but snow and ice, and then throwing the bat down. The Colorado Rockies at Coors Field built a snowman at Coors Field that has a Rockies hat on it, and then they had a contest. Dante Burchett, Snowland Arenado, Noloff Aaron Snow, Chuck Frosty, Kyle Friesland, Bud Black Ice, Scott Snowberg, Flake McGee, Vinny Frostia. So, I mean, the Major League Baseball teams are having fun with it. Just stay warm. Think of your neighbors. You don't need to go out. Don't go out. Okay? You don't need to. Don't go out.
And the Padres posted a video of the San Diego chicken poolside with a fruity drink.
That's cruel, man. That's really cruel. Did I ever tell you this story? The coldest I ever was in was Iowa, 1996. It was this particular weekend, because I remember the game was February 2nd. And the high temperature that day was 18 below zero. The low temperature that night had been 34 below. I'm not talking about wind chill. I'm talking about actual temperature. So high was 18 below. Jerry Dunn was the coach at the time, and I opened up the pregame show with Jerry saying, Jerry, welcome to Iowa. Today's high was 18 below. Last night was 34 below. Is this a good time to ask you about playing in the Maui Invitational? Never did get that invite. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.